What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Next Gen Sales Leader Podcast. My name is Benjamin Reed, and I'm the host of Next Gen Sales Leaders. And also, we are covering a live call about Next Gen Sales Systems, my B2B community on School. If you want to learn how to grow your B2B business, if you have an agency or a SaaS business or any type of business for that matter that sells business to business, this is the community for you. We have a live call every single Thursday, and this is a recording of one of those meetings with my school group members, with over 600 people in there. So on this call, we're going to cover exactly why you need a back-end revenue engine to scale out your B2B business, especially if you're in services, because there is tight margins and you got to be able to pay your staff to be able to scale up the offer and make sure you're doing a good job. The next thing we're going to cover on this live call is a cold outbound strategy in terms of client acquisition and why specifically you should only be choosing clients that have large total addressable markets with very clear offers. So if you want to scale it specifically a cold email outbound agency, this is a critical strategic decision that you're going to make, and we're going to go deep into that subject. And finally, we're going to be covering why in B2B sales in general, selling big tickets, whether it's software or whether it's services, you need to not just be a good salesperson, you have to be a subject matter expert who is considered to be reputable and a thought leader in their space. And that only happens through deep experience, what I call the 1,000 conversations you have to have in that particular niche. So we talk about all these subjects on this call. Go ahead and jump in, and I will see you guys in the live call.
My name is Ben Reed. I am the founder of Next Gen Sales Leaders and the owner of the community. I created this community out of an experiment, not because I was trying to sell anything originally, but because I thought it would be interesting to see what happens when I put out the message into the world and try to solve what I call entrepreneurial loneliness. So I think the core goal is to just meet people and connect with people and have smart, fun conversations about entrepreneurship and about, you know, how difficult this shit is. I mean, let's be real. I'm 13 businesses in, I failed at most of them, and I made all the stupid mistakes along the way. And I found it to be quite lonely. There's not many people on planet Earth that kind of get what an entrepreneur goes through other than entrepreneurs. And so whether you're here and you're just getting started your first business, or whether you're, you know, multi-time founder, and we have kind of a mixed bag of people, you know, the goal is to realize that we're in it together, and we can support each other with better information, better community. So just so you know, that's kind of like where I come from. Ultimately, we can get into tactics, we can get into strategy, we can talk about philosophy, whatever the hell you guys want to actually talk about on this call. This call doesn't have rules. It's only the fourth time we've ever done this. And so I want to just be clear with that. If you have a fun idea, or if you want to talk about a subject, or if you want to raise your hand and introduce something, I don't care. Let's go for it. Last time what we did is we all kind of introduced ourselves and we talked about what we're working on right now. It looks like we have some new people. So maybe we could have some of the new people jump on and just talk about what their project is and what the major bottlenecks or problems are. I like the idea of the number one role of a CEO in a business is to find the biggest constraint and allocate resources to solve for it. And so it'd be interesting to know, what do you do? How did you get here? And what's your biggest constraint? What are you bottlenecked with right now? And maybe we could jump into how to solve that. Or if we can't solve it on this call, we can still give you guys some resources or have some ideas to kick around. And maybe if I can't solve it, somebody else can. So the ultimate goal of this call is to just add massive value, make connections, and we can get to know one another. So I guess, who wants to start? Does anyone want to jump in?
So my name is Anthony Chestnut. I'm on my second business now. I'm now getting into the LinkedIn space and doing a lot of personal branding. I've had a lot on Instagram. And right now I'm building out an agency for clients to build coaches, consultants, agencies to build out their personal brand. I feel like most of us are pretty common with personal, like people that are selling personal brands, the services, whatever. I would say this, there's not really any bottlenecks at the moment. I had a problem yesterday, to find out what I'd be selling as a service, because it's almost complete the business to be set up and getting clients. I have a client right now, but, my bottleneck, I guess yesterday was figuring out how to like simplify my service, because I was going to do two things and I realized that I should just do one thing at first. So for my service, I'm doing content creation, content scheduling, profile optimization, and like having full control over the client's account. So like I'd be commenting on other people's posts and growing the account and gate like organically, so they get clients through there. But I was also I remember I talked to you yesterday, Ben, and we were talking about using Prosp AI. And for my other service, I was like, okay, I can also add in cold outreach outbound. But then I'm like, that's a lot. Like, if I'm gonna take control of, like, let's say, like, for my first like set of clients, say 5 clients, I control all their accounts, I do all of that, and then I also add in cold outreach. Like, I feel like that's a lot. So for how I'm looking at it right now is, I'm just gonna do warm. I'm gonna generate the personal brand for the LinkedIn, and then once I start scaling, I can start adding in that cold outreach as another service. But I think starting out with only 5 clients and only being me, I have an editor, but just a solopreneur, and then eventually when I get like VAs, I can scale up and I can do cold outreach. But that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Cool. Question for everyone on the call. Who else has an agency here? If you could like raise your hand. I don't know if you could do it virtually or just raise your hand. That'd be helpful to know. We got one. Anybody else? I mean, I'll raise my hand. David. Okay, so we got one, two, three,
I do as well.
four. So okay. So five or six of of us do. So okay, and I think with agencies. You know, I was just at a podcast the other day where we were talking about like, have you noticed there's this like trend towards agency owners like launching SaaS? And I was like, yeah, I do notice that trend. And the answer is, or the question is like, why is that the trend? And the answer is that the business model for agency kind of sucks unless you have a machine-like ability to repeatedly deliver the service. And I can tell you like in my internal agencies. So I have NextGen, which has been going on for about 5, 6 years. And then I had another one called Energy Media Group back in 2014, 2015. You know, when you try to be the jack of all trades, you become kind of the master of none. And that's so cliche, but it is so true. And so I think that there's a kind of a twofold part of like being good at an agency as a business model. One is like being really actually good at what you do. And if you do a bunch of things, that's kind of hard to do. And the reason you got to be good is because you got to deliver so you can retain, so you're not constantly churning like at 20%. And so that's like why I think that if you're just getting started, cold outbound, like we'll get into that in a second. That's a whole can of worms. And I can tell you for me, that's not where I make most of my money. On my margins, I make like 15% margins on each client per month, and I charge $15,000, sorry, $5,000 a month just on the email side of my agency. And I'm still barely squeezing 15%-ish, give or take the month. And that's after all of my cost of goods sold and all the cost to pay people and all the technology and all of that kind of stuff. So the margins really suck. And so then the question is, well, okay, how do you actually make money? And the answer is you have to have some back-end products that actually are easy to deliver, that people find value in, and that don't take your time. So for us, it's our RevOps side of things. So I'm a multi-time CRO, Chief Revenue Officer, where I do build and scale B2B sales teams. And I have this 100-page training on how you do it. You can actually go into the school group. And if you go into the new lesson I just put up called Work with Ben, all my offers are there. So if you actually want to see what I offer, like not because you have to buy them, but because you just want to see them and see how I'm structuring them, it might be interesting for you. There's a video that kind of explains it all. But our front end offer is a free setup on email for the right type of company. So it's typically companies that are doing more than $1 million a year and have previously tried outbound and they want to scale up. They can actually handle the volume. But then we don't make money on the first 6 weeks. And even when we do sell them after that, we're barely making money on each month to month. So where I make like all my profit is through the upsells to the higher level packages, where we're charging $10,000 a month or $5,000 a month, and it's on the revenue operation side. The reason for that is that it's more of a machine. It's more systematized. I have entirely done lessons where people can watch all the videos and then fix it. And so it's not this constant churn of like, I have to run this campaign this week or I have to pull this new list. And so all that tactical in the weeds stuff kind of goes to the side. So that I would say, like, that's a long-winded way to say, like, choose services you're really good at, and then make sure you have some services that are easy to fulfill but high value that you can charge a lot of money for on the back end. And also, I would say, like, take advantage of any affiliate deals you can do. So, like, we sell like 7 or 8 different softwares that they have to have to do the work we do with them. And we get like anywhere from 20% to 40% affiliate commission on the software. So you might as well take that if you can. And then, like, for me, what I'm doing is I'm launching a company. I'll even put it here in the chat if you want to check it out. We're launching in May. It's called RevyOps.com. And the reason we're launching it, RevyOps.com, I just put it into the chat, is that we were solving our own problems. So coming back full circle as to like why is everyone starting SaaS companies that are agencies? Well, one, because it's a much better business model, and it scales much better. Now, this is like a big asterisk needs to put on everything I just said, because the reality is like it depends on what you want. If you want to make $500,000 a year, and some of you might be like, "Whoa, that's fucking awesome." Yeah, I mean, you can like build an agency to $2 to $3 million. You can get a 20-25% margin if you do it the right way, and you can have a great lifestyle business and, you know, sit back in your house and have a great time. My personal mission is to build companies to $10 million and sell them for 10x that. That's like what I want to do. Yes, I can go and build these lifestyle businesses, but for me, the money isn't what's interesting at this point. I want to see if I can get to the next level as an entrepreneur. Because it's fun, and because I enjoy it, and because it's really fucking hard, and I like to push myself. So I saw this quote on Instagram the other day, where somebody said something to the effect of like, "Why do you work so hard, or why do you like put yourself in these challenging positions, or why do you challenge yourself? Why even do hard shit?" And the guy's response, it was like Eric Weinstein. I can't the guy on the Joe Rogan podcast who's the physicist. I don't know if you guys know who he is. But he said something to the degree of like, because there's like something eating at your soul, and we're trying to make something matter in this life, and we're trying to like make meaning out of whatever the fuck this is that we're doing. And that's kind of how I like feel about entrepreneurship, where it's like at some point you get to a level in the game where you're like, okay, well, am I doing this for the money, or am I doing it for something else? And for me, like, it's very important that you guys get clear on what you're in it for. And it doesn't have to be what I'm doing. It doesn't have to be your meaning in life. I have one business partner who his business partner in real estate, they like grew to $30 million net worth, and one guy was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna go sit on the beach." And that was the end of it. And the other guy, guy named Josh Adler, he's the owner of WellSite Navigator. And he was the one who was like, "No, I'm bored. I want to go." He went back to MIT. He got a degree when in his mid 40s or something like that. Reinvested a bunch of the money he made into the software businesses we built together, and that's where he wanted to, that was fulfilling to him. So there's not a right answer there, but the point is you got to establish like what the hell do you actually want to do, and that will actually impact the way that you structure your business. So like if you just want a lifestyle business that's like comfortable, I still would build it in a scalable way because it's just easier to fulfill and you have more time. But you could still get away with having like 1,000 services and just, you know, you're just running around like a crazy person every single day. But if that's what you want and you like it and you're cool with your $100,000 a year salary as a micro agency owner, then keep doing it. You know, there's people that's what they want to do. They want to travel in a van and go live their life. So be it. So I know that's like, I just went on a diatribe, but you like triggered something in my brain I wanted to speak on. So does that help at all? Does that spark anything?
No, that definitely helps. I guess that's some stuff I thought of yesterday as well. Like, not as in depth what you were saying, but for sure.
I mean, what are you leaning towards? Are you leaning towards like going with one particular service, just the LinkedIn outbound, or are you still like itching to like add an extra thing? And by the way, if I look at multiple screens, I have like people all over the place here.
No worries. So I my experience has been at Instagram for the past 3 years. So I really understand content. So I'm really just going to structure, and I've built like content bots with with ChatGPT and stuff like that. So I have like a pretty good, I have a really good understanding of content. So I'm really just for the services, I'm just gonna stick with content creation, scheduling out, have like a Notion board for it, the profile optimization. I've done a lot of research for that, and going in and commenting on other people's posts to get the impressions up, get the people viewing your stuff, and just do it all organically because I'm just very used to that stuff. So yeah, I'm just gonna stick with that, and then eventually, like when the agency grows, I'll consider cold outbound. But I will say, the cold outbound scared me a little bit because of LinkedIn's just like the cops, like they're just like they're on it. They're on it for automations. So I'm just gonna stick with the warm outreach for now.
I should connect you with Alfie, who is the owner of Pro. Did you speak to Alfie? Did you talk to him?
I never did.
Okay,
No,
yeah.
I've only watched the podcast you did with him.
Okay. I'll try to connect with you and him afterwards via WhatsApp. He's the founder, but that's actually a very interesting founding story because they spent like 6 or 7 months building the product and then launched it. And my LinkedIn coach, the guy that does a lot of my posts, is their LinkedIn coach, and I didn't even know that. But like, he's doing much better for them than he is for me. What the fuck? Like, he's got their whole like schedule completely packed, 15-minute like demos, like 100 plus a week. And it goes to show like the offer matters so much, and the product and service matters so much because they're doing lead gen on LinkedIn for a lead gen platform. Like, it's kind of meta. But it's the offer's crushing for them. But I actually switched over for anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about. There's a bunch of a suite of like LinkedIn automation tools in the world, like LinkedIn Helper and HeyReach and Prosp.ai. There's like 30 or 40 of them. And I've tried a lot of them, and I like Prosp because I love the AI notes that you can now add, and I like some of the AI contextualization you can add in. I would say like the tried and true one is LinkedIn Helper. It's a desktop-based application. It's kind of old school looking, but it works really well. And what's kind of cool is you can actually see it working in the background where you can see it like doing the search and the keystrokes. And so LinkedIn Helper is like was my favorite, and Prosp now has like become my favorite. And I just like the founding team. I think that they really want to build a good product, and I like supporting people that are like up to cool shit. So but yeah, I'll connect with you and him afterwards. And I think like getting back to the point on like the cold outbound side is that it is like I'm telling you this as somebody who has gone from I was previously like mostly a RevOps guy where it was like selling fractional chief revenue officer services, selling a bunch of different sales processes, back end CRM setup, strategy, pricing, you know, how to manage sales teams, that kind of stuff, more B2B high ticket. And about 2 years ago, I started getting a lot of demand for more lead generation and list building. And this is when Clay and like the whole world kind of started shifting, whereas in the past you just subscribed to ZoomInfo or Uplead, and now everyone's going to like Clay, web scraping, Appify, you know, Ocean.io, Trigify, all those things. And so I got a lot of demand for it, and I was like, wow, this is a cool front end offer for me that I can attract people on the lead gen and then show that they actually need post lead capture fulfillment. And so I went down that path, and I think this is a good idea. I'm just putting this out there in the world. Is that if you want to launch a service, go white label somebody else who's good at it and then learn from them, have them do it. Just take, even if you take a peanut cut of it, like for us, I think we took 20% of the person we white labeled for the first several months. But we would represent it as next gen and we learned from this person. And here's the reality. Nobody actually knew or really knows what they're doing in this space. It's kind of all brand new on the GTM outbound space. Now, there are leading experts. It's wild to me that I'm considered one of those people. Like, I'm like a top 100 expert, and instantly I'm on their website and everything. It's kind of a joke because it's like, who am I, you know? But the reality is like, go find somebody who has done it for at least 6 months, and then it's all about finding if the business model makes any sense. What we found in doing cold outbound was the business model kind of sucks. And let me tell you why. We still do it, by the way, because it's our front end offer. And the only reason it makes sense is because of what I said. But why it sucks is that you, first off, you need a very expensive tech stack. So you need to have at least Clay, Instantly, Million Verifier, Bounceband. We like two email sending platforms. What else? RevOps. You need a Calendly link. You're going to need your typical Zoom stuff. You might need some Make, NAN, whatever your go-to automation suite is. And so you're gonna need to buy all this stuff. It comes out to around $2,500 a month all in once you account for all the expenses on SaaS, and that's just to the client. Now, We can take a cut of it, but the client has to pay. Now, some agencies build that into their fee where they're charging like $4,000, but they're paying for the software themselves and they get scale out of it. And so this means that the client gets a better price and they hide it inside the business. The reason I don't like that is because then I don't get the affiliate commission. And number two is I'm become a black box. And when stuff doesn't work, I have nobody to point to. And that sounds like a weird thing to say, but I think it's better, in my opinion, to what I say is like build completely open kimono, which is let everyone know how hard it is. So what I do in my sales process is I actually show like, let me show you all the technical stuff and let me show you how hard it is. And let me show you like what we're doing technically to integrate everything. And so then when they say like, oh, it's not working, I say, yeah, I know it's hard. I mean, what we're doing is we're giving you the best machine, but if your offer's off, if your product's off, if your sales team sucks, if your messaging isn't good, if the ESPs, the email service providers, decided to go down yesterday, well, then you're just screwed. So anyways, that's like the first piece is they have to be willing to spend money on the software. And so then on top of that, you need to be able to charge a fee that actually justifies your cost. And I can tell you, like, it's about like internally my cost of goods sold of just my team, and my team is here, Jesse and Alan. Those two guys account for 50% of the cost on that, not including all the other costs associated with the business. So after all the other costs are associated, I have like 15% left. And that goes to like build software. So my point is like, it's not a, if you're just doing a standalone cold outbound agency, it's like, even if you do a good job, it's not a great business. But if you do a bad job, and most people do a bad job, they have a 20 or 30% churn rate. And so then you end up with this constant hell of like having to resell people. And you guys know how that goes. So for me, I would just say like, don't try to do cold outbound email unless you have some real compelling reason to do it. I have a very compelling reason to do it because it feeds my backend RevOps and it feeds my software RevOps. So everybody I sell buys the software and they buy RevOps. So all of our clients at NextGen use RevOps. So I'm making money on that and I'm making money on my backend sales. So again, I don't know if that's helpful, but that's how I think about it.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna do email. I was gonna do just outbound, like strictly on LinkedIn, if that's like a business model, like you know about.
I think it's much better because the upfront cost is like the $60 on the prosp. You have to be good at copywriting, and basically you just have to be really good at list pulling. So as long as you're good at like ICP identification, really good at like list cleaning, so I still would invest in Clay. And maybe and when you're doing LinkedIn, you can't do the volume. Unlike like so what Alfie will tell you, which I think is crazy, it's kind of cool. I haven't tried it. But what they do is there's a service, I can't remember the name of it, but you can ask them, where you can go buy other people's LinkedIn's profiles. So what you can do is like you pay for a real person's LinkedIn profile, you plug them into Prosp, and you have like 10 of these people. And there's limits on the messages you can send per day, because you don't want to get triggered and get detected and then get shut down. And so there's a hard limit there. So if you want to scale the outreach, you buy all these fake profiles, which are real profiles, you put your name, your company's name on top of them. So they all put it in their profile. So they look like you're a real like big agency, but you're really like one dude. And then you structure the campaigns on outbound to hit the list at a bigger volume. But even then, like let's say you have like a 30 message limit per day, like and you have 10 people, okay, that's 300 messages. That's a much lower volume than cold outbound. So you have to be much better at list building. And I like what Ben Holly, he was on one of my last podcasts, if you want to check him out, somewhere in the school group on the podcast section. You should check that out because he has a really interesting idea around list building, which is like he's actually trying to get rid of 90% of the list, whereas most people are trying to expand the TAM. And I think in your world, specifically for like LinkedIn, I think following that strategy of just getting it down to the top 300 or 400 people and not getting 10 different profiles and just dialing it in on one profile. And then if you have a large enough TAM and you have a big enough list, then I would consider investing in additional profiles to scale it. But we do the LinkedIn stuff too. Now I just do it usually like when a campaign sucks on cold email and I'm like, hey, we got this LinkedIn thing, and then I can spin it up real quick. But it's so simple to do and it's effective, but it doesn't scale well. And so the problem is we have some clients that are like 30, 40, $50 million type like SaaS platforms, and they need 50 meetings per week. You're not going to do that on LinkedIn. So I think that like that fits quite well for your like smaller size, like agency, solo entrepreneur, founder, coach that wants to get started. And you could honestly charge like pretty low numbers for that, like, and still be profitable. You could charge like $1,000, $2,000 a month. Takes you like 30 minutes to an hour to set up, maybe an hour to get to know the client after you send onboarding docs, and you set it up and you check it once a week. So if you think about it, you know, that's a kind of scalable because you don't need a whole set of other people doing the work for you. You could do it yourself for the first 10 or 15 clients. So I think it's a viable business model, and I think that you know, with these new tools on AI coming out, I think that it's something that's still pretty wide open, even though LinkedIn automation's been around for a while. So
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
yeah. And I also want to say thanks for going first. You know, I have like horrible stage fright, which is like kind of surprising to people. I'm good behind a Zoom camera when it's like my call. But if like I was on somebody else's Zoom and like there was 100 people or something like that, like I get very bad anxiety. So I appreciate you going first. And I'm sure somebody else on this
Course.
call probably resonates with that too. So
Of course.
anyone else? Who else do we got?
I have a second.
Okay. Hey, Noah.
Hey, I'm Noah. I started with a AI automation agency, just like process automation with make.com back in November. And as part of that, I did some cold outbound campaigns. And I found that was a good offer. And you're sort of connected to the revenue that you're bringing to the business. So I feel like it's not as difficult as a sell because you can connect yourself to revenue. So I'm working on scaling up that offer after running some campaigns, and I'm focusing on the recruiting niche. So I actually signed three clients in the past 3 weeks for my recruiting niche.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. But going back to your question about bottlenecks, I think that's okay client volume for me to start with. Me and I have one business partner who does a lot of the automations in the back end. But we're working on finding like product market fit for a recruiting agency lead gen offerings, like specifically because list building is a little different because we want to look for intent signals like open job postings, scraping LinkedIn and Indeed using the VerStack API, looking for people who have left a company recently. So getting in contact with them before the job is even posted, right? Yeah, that's basically where I'm at with trying to scale that offer in particular.
Hey Jesse, can you grab the intent signal worksheet and just make a like a view only link? And if you could share it with these guys, I think they'd get some value out of it.
Yeah, let me find it.
I agree with you, Noah, is I think like where the market is going, generally speaking, and this is why I'm investing so much in RevyOps, my software, is that, you know, let me show you something because I think this will be like helpful as a like one thing you'll notice that I do is I try to make turn like general conversations like this or small kind of anecdotes into frameworks. So it applies to more than one person that I'm talking to. So if you see me doing that, that's kind of why. But I want to show you a specific resource we use internally. And it's specifically to one, tell us if we're crazy in terms of launching outbound, but two, it's about making sure that the client understands clear expectations. And also it defines like the edge of what's like truly possible with outbound, which I think most people think outbound's this magical, you know, wand that will just solve all problems. So let me pull that up and I will share this with you. Share to. Okay. Can you guys see this all right? So let me make it bigger so you can see it. But this is gonna get back to the intense stuff in a second. All right, so these numbers are like all debatable. Anything that is in beige or whatever color this is editable. So I'm gonna just talk about the assumption. So this is on like pure cold outbound. So what we have seen in our internal agency is, let me make this bigger, is on average a reply rate across clients, across segments, is around 1 to 3%. Excuse me, I would say 2%, 2 to 5, 2 to 2.5% is like average. And what this is like saying is all the people that have ever replied, anywhere from like out of office, not interested, go to hell, what is this about? Yes, I'm interested. That's the reply rate. So it's, and it's not of total email sends, it's of total prospects sent to. That's an important idea. And then of those, we see typically around 4 to 6% on average are interested. So of those that reply, 4 to 6 are interested. And then in terms of booked meeting rate, of those that are interested, how many are actually like booking meetings? So these numbers will vary widely. I would say a year ago, our average was like this, 5, 7, 50. And I think that the world's just getting harder. I think email service providers, fingerprinting is getting harder. There's just a bunch of headwinds that we're facing. There's more competitors coming in the space. People are learning this stuff. They're on calls like this where I'm saying this shit and everyone's kind of seeing reality. And so the bottom line is that like things are getting harder. So now what happens, the reason I'm showing you this, let's go back to current state reality. And by the way, I've seen people do 20% reply rates. If you have a warm list, you can get 30%. Like, this is just like across the board cold. I just want to be clear. So it's debatable. And it depends on what, like recruiters, maybe you get like a 10% average. You know, I haven't worked in the recruiting space, so I don't really know. So some of you are probably like, yeah, this guy sucks at cold email. He's getting horrible results. So now the interesting part here though is like my campaigns are 6-day campaigns with 3 emails per campaign and one sends every to a contact every 90 days to not burn the TAM. And so if I want to do 5 leads per week per campaign, that means I need to send to 14,000 plus prospects to, and these numbers here of replies to interested replies to meetings booked are just a reflection of this, these numbers over here. So for example, if I change this here and I go to say 3%, you'll see the number of sends to prospects goes down to get the same result. So that's why these numbers are like really important. And even more important, this gets back to the TAM question, which is like, okay, let's say that I'm getting this result and I want this result here. So my client has this expectation. That means I have to send to this amount, but I can't burn them out. So I can't send to the entire TAM in 1 week. So I have to like make sure that I can resend to these people. We don't like to send to less than every 60 days to the same contact. Average is every 90 days. If it's a slow growing TAM or kind of a shitty market, we'll do it every 4 months and then we'll repeat the entire TAM, meaning we go through the entire list. So all I'm doing is to understand the TAM requirements is I'm multiplying my prospects per campaign by the amount of cycles I want. So over here, we know we get around 3.4 6-day campaigns per month. We're sending to the same full TAM every 3 months, which means I can do 10.2 campaigns per sending period. And then the assumption is just 10 times this, because this is the campaign requirement. And it tells me how many leads, which are contacts I need. And then assuming how many contacts are in each individual company, you can see how many total accounts you need in the TAM. But the point I'm trying to make is that like this is like kind of like a blah, like an average result. Like it's not really good. If you have a very high ticket item, maybe you're happy with like 3. And then you just need a TAM here of like this. But it's like if you have a micro TAM of like 10,000 people, you're fucked. Like it's like don't even try to do this because you're just gonna have a bad result. And so I'd say like that's like the number one thing I would say is like an agency owner of at least cold outbound is like evaluate your TAM and basically everything that is everything you're doing depends upon the TAM and the offer. So if you have a small TAM and you're not doing account-based marketing or signals, then don't even try if your market's too small. Now, that was a long-winded way to get back to what Noah was saying is like he's focused on intent signals and scraping like Indeed or whatever it is for job switches. And I think here's a spreadsheet that we just shared in the channel. This is our own signal worksheet. This is pretty valuable because we took a lot of time to develop this, but it shows you on the column G what platform we use to pull the signal intent data. And when we onboard clients, we choose which whether the signal is relevant for them. By the way, would love your feedback on this. So if anyone sees signals that they think are missing, you don't have to do it now, but in the future, just like send us a message because we're trying to like crowdsource this and make this better. I think that the reason signals are so critical is where I think the market's going, and I think Clay has seen this too because their positioning has started to change, is that It's much more about account-based marketing. You can no longer just get like an ideal customer profile. Instead, you have to build out the buying committee of decision makers, influencers, end users, blockers, IT groups, procurement, depending upon the size. And you have to buy the buying, you have to create the buying journey. And then you need to build out a signal map like this for every single ICP. And if you do that correctly and you pixel people correctly and you have a good list of those people, then you can start to watch them over time and collect data on them. And then the idea is to use AI to analyze that intent to lead score and then set a task for a full cycle sales rep to go take action and give them the story that they got to tell. So it saves them months of research per rep. So they can go to these account-based approaches at a much higher velocity than before. And that's like not actually tactically using instantly at that point. Like you're not like sending cold fake emails like we're doing now with cold outbound, which I showed you over here in the return on outbound calculator. It's much more about research and about looking for intent and then very precisely meeting people with a direct message that's more cultivated. So yeah, I mean, this is like where there's a great post on LinkedIn somebody put up the other day of like the size of the average order value matters how much, like what kind of approach you can take. And like if it's less than $10,000 average order value, you should certainly like not be, you should have a very low touch sales process, like product led almost, or free trials. If it's 10 to like 25,000, you can have a medium touch, maybe like a book call, one meeting, two meeting close, that's good. And then if it's above, if it's actually it was $10,000 to $100,000, it was like anything in that range should be like one, two, three call close, you should be done. And once you get above $100,000 average order value for the year, you know, that's when it goes account based and you need to really start to do that stuff. I cut my teeth on account based where I'm selling like $1 million contracts to Chevron, big oil and gas companies, where you had to build huge buying committees and big org charts. So you got to be careful that like you can sometimes over engineer the sales process with this type of shit if your average order value is too low. What I think is happening though is that I think in the next 2 to 3 years, we're actually bringing down the average order value that's required to be successful with this. Because in the past, you had to get like six cents, which is like $100,000 piece of software. You'd have a whole development team, a whole RevOps team to do it. Now with like one GTM engineer and a couple pieces of software, like my tool RevOps and Clay, I think that you'll be able to do the same type of intent signals at like a fraction of the price and still get a good return on investment. So I know that's like a shit ton of information I just threw at you, but I really think the market's going in the signal-based approach. So I'm curious, no, have you actually like seen results with that, or are you just getting started with that?
No, we're just getting started. So with cold email, there's like a 3 week ramp up period. So I've bought all the domains and I have to wait till they warm up. But what I have been doing is in my initial outreach, instead of asking for a meeting, I actually just ask them if I tell them that we have a database of employers who are interested in hiring now and who are interested in looking, or I say we have a database of employers who have jobs that have been open for, let's say, 30 plus days. And I ask if they want some of those leads. All they need to do is reply with what kinds of roles they want to fill for their candidates and what kind of industry they look at. I input that in the automation, and then it pulls from different job boards, the information for maybe three different hiring managers, like their email address, email finder, for example. And we just give that to them in the reply. So we just give them something useful based off of a similar system that we're running. And my campaign for like business development for finding recruiters is a very small lead list, but we did get a 4.4% reply rate and 60% positive, which is quite good.
Wow. That's crazy. What do you mean it's quite good? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's good. And
10x
then,
better than the average. That's amazing.
yeah. And the previous campaign I ran, I work on retainer, and also I did a campaign for a compounding pharmacy in Houston. And I ran a campaign where I scraped med spas in like the top 50 US metros from Google Maps. That lead list was around 2000. And from that, I got a 3.7 reply rate with also 60% positive. So in total, that was something like 42 opportunities for them. And these are big accounts because when they get the partnership, it's like several hundred thousands of dollars of orders, right?
I need to connect you, Jesse or Alan. Do you remember? I cannot remember his name. He was on last time. I'm not sure if he's here. Was it Pierre? I can't remember who was on, but he has a agency and he only sells to med spas. So maybe you and him could connect on that. And also, let me just show you guys if you haven't seen it. This is, I think, relevant to if you guys haven't been in my classroom section, you should check it out. But in the podcast specifically, this like why AI can't fix your outbound, Ben Holly specifically talks about using outbound to do recruitment. So it might be worth you listening to like hear how he thinks about it and talks about it. I'm curious, are you using it? Forgive me if like this seems like a dumb question. Are you using it to recruiting agencies, or are you using it to help recruiting agencies find prospects or
The
something else?
campaign that I mentioned, that was for our agency, and I contacted recruiting agency CEOs. But what we're trying to sell them is lead gen for them. And what we're doing for them, the offer is finding employers for the recruiting agency with open jobs they want to fill.
So that's actually the hard side of it. Because I was going to say, if you're actually doing this for recruitment on the employee side, I mean, everyone wants a job, right? Who's unemployed. So it could be even easier. But that's fascinating that you're making that work. I was actually just talking to another person who is her name's Erin, and she owns a cold email agency. I cannot remember the name of it, but she is purely focused on recruiting too. So it seems like recruiting is like kind of a hot thing. So I it's interesting, like when you find these niches, I actually think it does make a lot of sense to just like double down on the niche, because once you figure out the messaging and the offer, everything else becomes easy, right? Because it's like you know it's gonna work, you know how to pull the TAM, and once you've done it for like one client or like 10 clients, you have essentially the total addressable market pulled. The biggest cost is typically the list pulling and the list management time. And so once you've gotten that solved and you have the offer solved, then it's about just like plugging people into that offer. So that's interesting. Recruiting is a hot spot, but I think like getting back to like the large TAM, if you're not doing signal-based stuff, like you got to find like very, very, very large TAMs where like there's an evergreen offer. Like any agency needs cold outbound, in my opinion. Cold outbound works very well for us as well. So everyone wants leads. So when you say, "Hey, do you want leads?" like people come running. But like I think any local business would also be like anybody who's serving local businesses, and there's thousands of those across the country, that could be a good use case. But like even today, I had to fire a client because their TAM was too small. And they represented their TAM as like 30, 40,000 accounts, and it was like 5,000 accounts. And I was like, I can't help you. Like even if I do my signal-based approach, the volume, there was a disconnect between volume expectations and reality. And so it's like, you know, when you're spending $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a month, it becomes difficult. So, but anyways, yeah, thanks a lot, Noah, for sharing. I'm gonna go on to the next person, but yeah, it's fascinating. Definitely check out the podcast there. So who have we not? I know that Maurice, you had your hand up. I'm so sorry. I keep remembering to call you out and then I get forget. So
It's
go
fine.
for it.
No, I had two questions. There was one buyer intent signal, which was form submissions. Is that based on the website's form submissions or external websites?
Can you point it out specifically for me? This is actually more of a
Yeah.
question for Jesse, because I'm not the person who actually built this document. Okay, where was it? Let me.
So left b below purchase signals,
Oh,
you have
yeah.
form submissions. Is that like on the website, the client's
Yeah.
website, or
Any owned media. So, for example, you guys opting into the school group, right? That's one. Anybody, any landing page, any newsletter. Anything that they have to put information into that you own, that would be what it's referring to. Yeah, and so
Yeah, it
that's,
makes a lot of sense.
yeah, so.
I thought it was meant to be like external websites you don't directly have access to,
Yeah,
which would be a game changer.
that would be crazy.
It
That would be
would
absolutely
be.
someday.
And I would love to see the copies as well, because like 2 to 3% reply rate, and I'm guessing that's around 0.04% ish positive reply rate.
Yeah, I'd have to do the
Like, what
math on it.
messages are you sending to get that?
Alan, that's a deep question. You're asking like for all the clients, what do we send? The reality is, I'll let Alan speak to this in a second, but it completely changes by client. Completely. Like, so for us, we do, like, we have a very specific ICP offer. Like, hey, can we discover your ICP? And that seems to like work. For one, it's like, hey, let's do, would you like to know pricing on a video project? That's like one that works. For one client, it was like, I'll give you $30 to jump on a call. I mean, it's like a gift giveaway. So the offer was like mostly what was kind of interesting to people. It was like, what are we going to do for them? And what's the call to action? But it's like, we were talking about this internally, is that everyone's obsessed with AI and AI written copy. And we do use that for like certain types of broader market clientele. But if it's like a smaller client, like with a smaller TAM, that's still with above the restrictions we described, I would say that, Spintax seems to work quite well for certain audiences. For me in particular, if you write a cold email to me, it's the first way to like me never respond to you and probably never even take a sales call, because I can see AI copy written a mile away and people are like, well, if you can see it, it's not good AI copy. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true, because I see AI copy that crushes for certain clients and I'm like, well, I am not the ICP for this copy, but it still smashes and still does well. I've been actually quite surprised at how well AI copy does, knowing how much of an adverse reaction I have to some of the content we write. So Spintax is a way to do that, where you spin the different information within the merge fields. So you come up with five or six variations. Sorry if that's obvious to people, but Google Spintax. I think on my LinkedIn profile, I have a little infographic on it. But we find that like you can control the tone in the copywriting much more precisely, like old school copy. And I like that a lot more. So I don't know if that answered anything, but I feel like I just lost the thread. So what other questions, or tell us a little bit about what you do and what you're up to.
This is my third company. First one I had was like a normal marketing agency here in the Netherlands for automotive companies. Was just like the standard building websites, SEO, SEA. I did that with two other partners, and we initially like started out of like instead of doing and going for an intern, we did our intern in our own company basically. But after 2.5-ish years, I wanted more. I wanted to test more and just like go harder. They didn't really want that, so I left, then joined another company, and after 9 months, I started on my own. But both still exist, by the way, so it's not that I failed them. And the plan for now, at least, is to help consultancy firms with outbound plus sales enablement in a slightly different way than you're used to. So it's not direct outreach, but it's more in a value-based way. So reaching out to them, asking if they're interested for an interview or a podcast or a workshop. So that's the plan, basically. And my bottleneck is me, probably. So and this model has already been validated, and I have friends who have or are already at like 120K plus and are easily going to 300 this year. But what I need to do is sign a couple of clients, get a good case study in, and build from there. And I have all the calls I need to actually like sign a couple of clients, but I'm just not converting them, and that's on me. And I'm looking at the sales calls, and it's like, yeah, I could have done this better, and I could have done that better, and I probably should change this. But it's like I'm doing so much volume that it needs to be misalignment within me instead of actually having a problem in the sales process.
Let me ask you this. So let me share screens. I'm gonna say something to establish a benchmark, and I want to know where you fit within it. What's interesting is most of the cost to acquire cu customers. So in our world, let's just go like five here in this scenario. Oh, good time. See what happens. So I like to see, this is not including our agency fees here, but like 127 cost to acquire. I think we got, hold on, okay, good. So 127 outside of us, this would probably come out to like $300 to $400 cost per meeting set. And then when you get into return on outbound, Like, so let's just put this at like $300 as an example. So you're doing 100 meetings, $30,000 for the 100 meetings, 75% show. So you're spending 400 to actually get them to show. 60% are qualified. I'm not saying these are benchmarks, but this is like a real client that we've seen. 45 of the 100 are qualified, and then there's a 25% close rate. So when I ask for specifically what's your close rate, I'm referring to specifically like what is the distinction between the qualified meeting
Yeah.
and actual one deal.
So I have a like I'm running outbound for myself, but I also tried ads. So for outbound I don't really know what like the specific the statistics are like in like probably can tell you like in general, but for ads it was like a cost per call for I think 100 and wait, I can actually give me 1 sec. Yeah, so it was cost per discovery call for 144 euros, and cost per show for 170. Cost per sales call was 250. But so the, like, if I look at the stats, everything looks good until the close. So basically, there's a huge drop off from sales call to close. I only managed to close one or probably two
Of
soon,
how many?
yeah, out of 180 leads. But to be fair, like in the beginning, I didn't optimize for lead quality, so there was a lot of shit in there.
Yeah. So how many were qualified, would you say, of the 180?
So I really had nine extremely qualified sales calls
Okay, but
in
that's
the
not a
end.
bad close rate
That's
then.
good. That's good.
Yeah, so if you get
Yeah.
two of eight, two of nine, I mean, it's not great, but like I'd like to see like 40, 50%. I'd say like my benchmark, if it's between 20 and 30% close rate, you're probably fine. If it's below 20%, you probably do have a qualification problem or a pitching problem. And if it's above 30%, then like that's not your constraint. So it sounds like you have a lead quality problem, not necessarily a pitch problem, but you could probably improve your pitch. What you can see I'm looking for right now is I have this pitch book, and it's called the B2B Million Dollar Pitch Method. I do use this for my agency, but I also use it for software too. I'll share this with you guys so you can see it. There's a video overview, but then there's the book. I actually wrote the book. It's like super not like published or polished, but I wrote it to actually teach my account executives how to sell. 'Cause like I was selling at a 50% close rate and everyone else was at like a 25. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I was like, let me actually like think about like why do I succeed and why do other people not? So there's the book here, which is a I think it's like 70 pages, but it walks through my method. And then I also have the slide deck here, which tells you exactly like what types of pages to add. And just as an example, I'll show you like my pitch deck for my agency, or RevOps, whatever one we can look at. But let's do, this might not be in the right order, but this is an example of like how there's a cover slide and it's never about, it's about their dream outcome. There's credibility and it gets into who we are, but immediately goes into ICP call out, who we serve. And then it gets into the top six challenges. And like all I do for the first 5 like to 20 minutes of the call is just like go, this is the top six challenges I have. My goal here is to get alignment with you. And then I go into them, the old world, the new world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now this gets into like, this is out of order, but that's the idea. So you have the full overview here, and the entire outline of the pitch deck. I would say like read through the book, and I think that will spark some ideas. I would say like the thing that I think makes me extremely effective at pitching enterprise deals is that I have no, I'm not like if you follow Jeremy Miner or any of these other like high ticket closers, like they make me want to throw up. Like I just feel like they're just not a good representation of an enterprise salesperson, or even a high ticket salesperson, because it's very like, I don't know if you need that. And there's like this very like stupid
Yeah.
face that they make with a stupid like, like tone of voice. And I shouldn't talk shit on Jeremy Miner. I'm sure he's a great guy. But like for me, it's like very simple. Sales is very simple. Are you credible? Number one, like, and how are you credible? Well, one is your whole affect. Like, why do you think I have this whole setup? Why do you think I have a much better camera than most people on this call? Why? Is it because I like to look good on camera? No, it's because I want to look credible. So just by having a better camera, Everyone here should invest in a camera. Go buy a ZV-E10. I'm actually going to give you my setup. Hold on one second.
In my defense, it's 11 p.m. here in the Netherlands.
Oh, I'm not hating. I'm just saying I look for like my problem is I over optimize. But I still think it's true. Is that everyone here should invest in a better camera and it will immediately set you apart from your competition. With like just get a couple backlights. You don't have to go crazy like with me where you have like a rope light and like some lava lamp and shit. But you should definitely get a better camera. It will literally help you have your close rate boost by 5% just because you're more credible. And so let me sh share a so everyone keeps asking about my Zoom setup. So I put together a full training on this. You guys can have it. And it has all the links to buy all the shit. But I highly recommend getting the ZV-E10 camera. So that's like one example, credibility. It's just like look good on camera, be well spoken. I mean, that's shit you can't teach. You know, you're either credible or you're not, just from your affect. The second thing is be a subject matter expert. And so in the book, I talk about being a doctor. The reason I close deals is because when people get off a call, they go, I just want to work with that guy. Like, I don't know why. I just think that he knows what he's talking about. And it's not because I've persuaded them or convinced them. It's because I actually do, because I've failed a lot and I've tried a lot and I studied a lot and I'm in the game. So I just think like if you want to get better at sales, get better at the knowledge and present well on camera. And then just be able to articulate what the problems are. If you can really describe their problems and describe the solutions without talking about your product, you're fine. So like for me, when I jump on, I talk about the problem statements. I just want to say, hey, is this true? Is this true? And they're going to go, yes, yes, yes. And then I go, great. I'm going to describe what I think the best solution is for you. And then they're going to say, okay. And I say, problem one, problem two, problem three, problem four. Here's solution one, solution two, solution three. These are not my products. These are what I think in the perfect world they should get. Now, here's the catch is that I already talked to 100 people, so I know what the pitch is. So if you haven't done the mom test, go do the mom test. If you don't know what the mom test is, it's in the free course section in the school group. But you have to go interview 50 ideal customers to understand their keywords and everything. And then you're going to start knowing their problems. And so then you put it into a standardized pitch. When you say their problems, you'll know it better than they do. And they're going to go, yeah. And that's when you know you have a messaging market fit. And then you come up with the solutions. And the solutions are not your solution, it's the perfect solution. And then you say them, and they have to say, yeah. And then at this point, the deal has been won. So that's what like was very kind of ninja about the way I pitch is that if I get them to agree to the problem and agree to the perfect solution, as long as my vehicle, my solution is that exact solution, then all they have to do is agree on price and believe that I can do it. And that's where the believability part is the whole credibility, subject matter, expertise stuff. But then it's just about alignment. So I think if you think about that, you can relook at some of your pitches and ask yourself, and I can go over by 15 minutes, anybody who's looking at the clock. I think that look at your pitches and ask, like, was I pitching too soon? You know, if you just jump on the call and people say, like, hey, so what do you do? And you go, great, well, let me tell you about our services and what we offer. This is how we do it. You've lost it right there. That's what everybody does. It's better to say, hey, I want to talk to you about what's happening in the world. We have a whole system set up, and I want you to understand why it's valuable and why this is a critical thing that you need to know about while you're making a decision on purchasing. I know you're talking to other agencies. I know you're talking to people, you know, that may be a good hire to come in internally. There's different ways you could solve this problem of lead generation, but I want to at least paint a picture of what's happening in the world so you can understand what you're getting into. And then I go through the problem statements and the solution statements and I get agreement. And then by the time I actually talk about my product or service, I know exactly where they stand. I know their objections to the problems. I know their objections to the solutions. I know what features to not show. And so then the close happens quite easily. An example, like Brady's on the call. So Brady is the founder of Oil Command and now one of our clients. So he is in an area, which is the oil and gas industry, for a very specific niche oil field solution. I'm a CRO for another company called WellSite Navigator. And so what I have to do on that call is these big oil and gas service companies come on the call and they already think they have solutions in place that are competitive with mine. And so there's something called Samsara. There's a bunch of e-ticketing tools out in the world, which Oil Command is one of them. There's something called a workforce management platform. And to the uninformed buyer, they believe that all those solutions are my competitor. And that their objection to me is like, I don't need you because I have these. So what I have to do even before I pitch, because I know I'm going to get that objection, and I know that objection's happening in their mind before, and they'll never tell me that. It's just happening. I know it's there because I've talked to enough people. I have to first set the stage, and I say, hey, we're going to talk about the top five problems we solved today. But even before we do, I want to talk about what's happened in the world. And also even the categories of products you're evaluating to solve this problem. So what I'll do is I'll say, you're here on the call because I believe you want dream outcome, whatever that cover slide is. Is that true? And they'll say yes or no or whatever they'll say. And I'll say, what is your dream outcome? And we'll get aligned on that. Then I'll say, okay, great. So here's the four things that I think that are going to happen during this conversation. You're going to probably have an e-ticketing solution, do you? And they're going to say, yes, we're working with Samsara. And I'll say, okay, and what about a workforce management? How do you do dispatching? And they'll say, oh, well, we do it now manually. So now I'm in the discovery phase. But once I kind of gather that information, I have to immediately establish, okay, there's actually four categories of products you need to be aware of during this buying cycle. One is e-ticketing, one is ELD, electronic logging devices, one is workforce management, and one is navigation. Now, the reason I have to do that is because I want to completely eliminate the objection of the alternative. So in agency world, the reason I'm giving you that is because in agency world, you also want to establish your moat and how you're different. So you're going to be like, you're probably talking to a lot of other agencies and you're probably evaluating how to do this. And so I want to just describe like there's different types of agencies in the world and you could explain that or the old way or the new way. I'll show you my pitch deck. You can even steal this if you want. Just so you can see like the way I do it for NextGen, if I can find out where the Canva doc went. Okay, here it is. That's this deck here. Let me make it bigger. So the old world versus the new world, right? Big box data providers. Now there's 100 plus micro data sources. So for me, the primary objection is, well, we already have ZoomInfo and we already got a list building company. We already got Becky. She's been sending out emails through Apollo. Why do we need you? You know? And so for me, I'll be like, well, there's a whole new world and it's much better, much more effective. There's signal-based intent. At a much more effective way, and you have to have the new tech. So every pitch deck has some version of this in my world, and if you're not thinking about it, you're not setting the stage for your pitch. And I think that like, without knowing your pitch or seeing anything, I would say that that's the number one mistake I see with most people is that they pitch too soon without getting problem solution alignment and then setting the stage of the world. Do you think you're making that mistake or do you have this all down? I'm not just saying that like tongue in cheek.
No, I don't think I make that mistake. It's there's a real art to sales, right? I mean, the example you gave with Jeremy, I agree that I don't really like his style, but I think he sold to insurance. He sold something like insurance, if I'm
His
correct. So
primary
maybe.
thing, I actually asked this. His primary, the way he made all of his millions was through selling events. So he was selling million, like hundreds of thousands of dollars of events, like conference things. So very specific offer.
But if I'm looking at the why deals didn't go through eventually, like it was because they it was outside of their budget, and if I want to get them back on a call to present the land and expand, but suddenly they needed to find product market fit or like a go-to-market strategy before doing anything outbound, which doesn't make sense because the strategy that I showed them basically bypasses the need for a go-to-market strategy. So, but I didn't get the opportunity to tell that. I tried calling them, etc., but just didn't get the opportunity. So I did something wrong there, but like, how could I improve that? Like, one didn't sign because there were some calculation mistakes in the doc I sent, which is obviously stupid. But there's probably more to that. Like that's basically sort of the story. One who showed interest We even scheduled a negotiation call after the sales call because they needed to discuss internally, but after, like, they didn't show up, like, they postponed the meeting and never replied again. So there's something going wrong, but I don't know what. It's either the value I'm showing is not enough, or the certainty is not enough, or something is off.
Yeah, I can't really speak more until if I actually saw something. But that's a good segue into the end, because what we're doing is we are at Next Gen Sales Leaders, we are thinking about what offers to offer the world, just like you guys are. So check out if you haven't already. I don't think anybody here is a buyer of this service, but I'm curious if you are, you can still check it out. And I think there's value for you, even if you aren't a buyer, because you can see how I'm structuring my offers. And that is, watch this video and then you can go through all my, this is like done for you and done with you services. I don't think I'm a fit. I think that you guys are a fit for my other offer, which is actually this first one, the $1 million B2B accelerator. So what I'm interested in is I'm getting a lot of demand for people that are doing less than $1 million. They have two or three clients. They're kind of new time agency owners. They don't know how to pitch. They don't know how to scale. They need help in different areas that I can't just make one product for everybody. It would be more of like a one-to-one coaching. So I'm not sure if I'm going to like really carry through with a lot of this. Meaning like, am I going to offer this for more than a month and take on a few clients? But what I did was I created a survey because I'm just curious here and I want everyone's opinion. There's no hard pitch. In fact, I'd rather not offer this, if anything, but I'm just curious about demand right now. So I just put a form in the channel. If you guys could open that up real quick, it's just a quick, what we call the new offer pricing survey. And I'm curious if, like, one, you kind of get a sense of what it's like to talk to me, you get a sense of the fact that I'm like, pretty system oriented, and I have a bunch of resources that answer questions rather quickly. And the value prop of working with me would be saving you 3 to 6 months or several years of your life, offering the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, pitching the wrong way. So the value prop is pretty obvious, is that like if I can just tweak one little thing on one call every single month and send you in the right direction, it could make the difference between winning or losing. And then you get 24/7 access to Jesse and Alan and other people on my team within a private Slack group where it's us just answering your team's questions or your questions as you scale. And so again, this is like where we'll answer your questions within 24 hours, as long as you're not asking us to like, do some crazy amount of research and it's something that's more strategic and we can answer it based upon our deep intuitive experience. We can handle that. And so it's 1 hour per month with me. My typical hourly rate, just by itself, is $2,000 an hour. Don't ask why; it's a whole story. I should probably tell that story because it's funny. I basically like some guy wanted my time, and I was like, "Okay, it's $3,000 an hour." And I thought he was gonna laugh, and he's like, "We could do 1,200." And I was like, "How about 2,000?" And he said yes. And then forever and always, I always charge $2,000 an hour after that. And so anyways, you get that hour with me, plus you get unlimited access to my team to ask GTM questions, scaling questions. They have gone through what we call my 100-page 3-day challenge. And so that's our full internal training on our methods, our systems, our go-to-market strategies, so they can answer those questions for you. So I'm just even curious, like, is this useful to you guys? Like, based upon your experience with me, do you find value? And I'm not hurt if you don't. I would actually rather you say, like, there's an option. I wouldn't pay money for this. Like, you're not supposed to bias people in a survey. I'd rather you click that if it's honest, because it tells me what, why not. And also, if you feel like you want to say, like, I wouldn't pay for this, but I'd pay for something else, if you could put that in the other column, that would be helpful for me because right now the school group, like I said, I started like 7 months ago or 8 months ago, really with no goal of monetizing. But everyone's been saying like, dude, like this is so valuable. I can't believe it's for free. And I'm like, well, let's see if I can just squeeze out an offer and see what happens. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm trying to see if like there's, we're now putting out a clay course, like a complete GTM course, our entire strategy for outbound. It's launching in a week or two. It's a dollar. It's like, you can find it. You can actually find it right here under the classroom section. It's free on my side, but if you go in, it's a dollar. And the clay lessons and the specific list building lessons won't be live for a week, but they'll be in there. So if you access, it's lifetime access for a dollar. I'm gonna in the future charge $249 for that, I think. But for now, it's a dollar just to test demand, and then all the other offers are here. So I'm curious what you think the right price point is for this offer. And yeah, so if you could just take a second and give me your feedback, that'd be appreciated. So I know we're over time. Did anyone have anything else that they wanted to talk about before we jump? Let me, before you answer that question, the only other thing, if you never do business with me, I totally get it. Bring other people to the group. That would be helpful to me. So word of mouth, talking with others, saying, hey, there's some free content here. We can all network. So for me, that's my like primary objective. I know that 99.9% of people that join the community, that join these calls, will never buy from me. But the best way to add value back is just to bring other people in through word of mouth. Word of mouth is the best compliment. And I'd really appreciate it if you guys could just take a moment to post on X or post on LinkedIn. We literally doubled our community size because one guy was like posted like, hey, you should check out this group. It was awesome. And literally went from 250 users to 470 in like a week. So a single post makes a big difference to me, or asking some friends that you think want to join that are business owners, obviously B2B business owners. So that's my only other soft ask. Sorry, go ahead. I see your hand up.
Yeah, I actually joined from that X post. I believe it was posted by Paolo. But yeah, I do want to thank you for all of these resources and this call. It has been super valuable. I don't want to take too much time.
Yeah, go for it.
Really,
I
yeah.
can stay an extra 10 minutes.
I've been in remote sales for about a year and a half now, and I just started a cold email agency. Yeah, so at this current time, I'm still more warming up my domains, and I'm also working on my landing page and a VSL. I wanted to get just a little bit of guidance for how to make a good VSL in terms of how to find a good angle, something that B2B businesses can resonate with. How would you do some research on that?
Have you checked out the mom test section?
I have not, no.
Okay, so that's the answer. Let me sh show you where it is. So if you watch a bunch of my content in the future, you're going to hear me like annoyingly talk about the mom test. So come under here, it's the section in the classroom section. Go to launch your offer. And it says, do this before you pitch sell. I first off would just like watch this video, just like a good overview of like how I think about going to market. And then you do want to watch these first two videos, but the mom test explained is good, and it gives you the actual template to use on what questions to ask. So the way I was describing, how do you know the problem statements? It's through the mom test. So what have you tried using to solve this problem before? So what I do is like I'll typically start with a, what is your, this is not in the right section, so I have to fix that. I don't know why it's like that actually. It should be like, what are the top three challenges or problems you face in your business right now? That's what you should ask. I don't know how, somebody must have copied it over. But yeah, so you want to start with that question, and then you have to follow up with what are you trying to solve this problem before? So the way that I go about this is like on LinkedIn or through my network, I just am like, if I'm just starting, I'm extremely, there's like a good word, like obsequious, which means like groveling, like where you're kind of like, just help me, And I think that's the best way to do it, which is like I'll message somebody, be like, hey, Frank, I'm just starting my business and I'm not selling anything, and I'd love your feedback because you're my ideal customer profile. And I just want to learn more about what your problems are. Are you open to giving me 15 minutes? I really would appreciate any time. No worries if not. Good to connect. Something like that, I think, would play very well. And then on the call, the way I would start it is you turn this into a survey. You can see I use Google Forms. We only got one response, so I wasn't too successful. But the bottom line is that like I would put into a Google Forms, and on the call I would go through these questions and I would answer them, and I would have probably recorded on Fathom or something first, and then I would transcribe the video using a tool like Descript or something. And then I would go and fill in the answers into the forms after the call if you're not a fast typer. And that's what I would do. So You want to do at least 20 of them. For me, I like to do 50 of them when I'm launching a new offer, especially if you're doing software. I know that most people here aren't doing software, but especially if you're doing software. And then you're going to start to see patterns. So the way to think about it is like when you're just starting out, you cannot make assumptions about the people unless you've actually either done it a lot and you've worked with other people or you've talked to a bunch of people. And if you haven't, you have to go talk to 20 to 50 people, mom test them, record it all, and I use ChatGPT just to analyze common problem statements and like kind of synthesize like what the biggest need and solution could be for these people. But this just takes time, and it's going to take you, for me, it takes on average of 60 days to do. And it's the slowest, most painstaking part of the entire offer creation process because there's no like fast wins here. And if you just do like something fast, like scrape like some type of like YouTube video comment section on a certain subject, which you can do, or some type of Reddit thread. Again, you scrape the whole section, you throw in the ChatGPT and say, analyze the top problems. It still doesn't do a good enough job because it's not specific enough on the ICP. So you want to come up with your ICP document and then go pull the list and then go focus just on those top 50 that are perfectly aligned with what you think you do. Then do the mom test, then synthesize and analyze the data, and then you can create your pitch deck. And so the actual MVP, in my opinion, isn't the software, it isn't the actual service you offer, isn't the processes and systems you build in the back end. It's can you identify ideal customer profile? Can you build a list? Can you get the mom tested? And can you build a pitch deck that every time you say a problem statement, they go yes. And every time you say a solution statement, they go yes. If you don't have that, you do not have a business at a high ticket level, in my opinion. So that's how I would do it. Then you create the pitch deck. And then you go try to pitch. And the first time you pitch, you'll see if it lands. And if it doesn't, or if they say no, that's not a problem, or no, that's not a problem, then maybe you miss something. And then maybe you have to ask more questions. So there's many times where I've stopped a pitch midway where the person's like, no, that's not the problem. And they'll be like, okay, I'm obviously off here. What are you trying to solve? And I'll just completely throw away the rest of the pitch and I'll just go back to the mom test. So that's an iterative cycle. It's taken me up to 6 months to perfect a pitch. And that's why people are like, what is the key to sales? It's subject matter expertise and credibility. And when they're linked. But the reason I'm so credible is because I've talked to 1,000 people, you know, and I've had these conversations. And that's where like I have experienced no other person has on planet Earth because most people haven't talked to that ICP 300 times, in the way that I have. So I think that's the answer, and it's not an easy one, unfortunately.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Any follow-ups?
If I was to create just like a quick VSL that's not super optimized, what would you recommend me do? Like probably meet up with a couple of people that I reach out to on LinkedIn. Would podcasts be good? Like listening to podcasts and kind of picking up any stuff on there.
Dude, I would literally read the book I shared in the chat and just truncate it down to like 15 to 30 minutes. I mean, realistically, that's what I would do. In fact, we'll just watch the pitch. Watch my pitch on my offers channel, and you'll see I do it. I literally go through like the problem statements, the call outs, the solutions. And I think I go even a little faster than I normally would go on those. I think I skipped the problem solution statements in that pitch. So that was a bad example. Because I usually use that after I've done an actual live pitch and I send that as a follow-up to my live pitch. So I was being lazy by putting in the school group because the school group, I do not expect to generate money. Like that's the irony. Is this call is like literally, I'm like, you guys are not my ICPs. Now, if you turn out to be my ICPs, fantastic. I'm kind of like throwing something out to God here and seeing like what's going to come back. I don't know. But usually like I follow that the $1 million pitch method that I describe in the structure I describe in the Notion doc. So go find that in the chat. There's a link somewhere. Read the book, watch the video, and then go into Canva and just come up with a basic overview. Use it in PowerPoint if you want to. And just literally do that. And that's your VSL. Literally just do exactly that. But you can't create the VSL until you do the mom test. Otherwise, like the number one key to the VSL is the pitch. And the number one key to the pitch is the understanding of the pain points. So if you try to just go like, okay, I'm just going to go skip all the mom test and and all the other stuff, and I'm just going to create something out of my mind, you will have the wrong pitch and it will not land. And this is why, like, I wouldn't even create a VSL until I've pitched 100 people in person. And that sounds
Okay.
crazy to people, but it's like, look, like, at the end of the day, do you want your copy to work or not? There's a reason why, like, copywriters only specialize in certain industries. And you'll see, like, oh, I'm a healthcare copywriter, I'm a real estate copywriter. It's because the thing that matters most in copywriting is actually subject matter expertise. It's not writing the copy. Because the copy writes itself once you know the basics of copywriting and you are a subject matter expert. So that's my best advice to you, is don't even worry about the VSL right now. Go, like, talk to 50 of your ideal clients, listen to the keywords, take the keywords and put them into the pitch, put them into your documentation, get used to saying those keywords. When they say a certain problem or phrase, say it exactly like that. Your copywriting, your emails, your positioning, your VSL script will be perfect. I don't think you need to go listen to a bunch of podcasts. I think I'm giving you the answer right here. And I'm telling you, I've sold millions and millions of dollars of deals, much bigger ticket than probably what you're selling using that pitch. And you can just make it simpler. So it could be an hour-long pitch, it could be a 10-minute pitch. You just go faster. And the key thing is, like, for example, I'll just do a quick, like, 60-second pitch with you so you can see it. My dog's going crazy downstairs, so I am going to go in a second. And my pitch deck is out of whack, but I will still, like, give you, like, an intro of how, like, I'm doing this. So I'd say, like, thanks everyone for joining the call. So I'm going to get right into it. My name is Ben Reed, and this is how to scale your B2B business to $10 million without doubt, luck, or going crazy. So to get into it, I know that you're probably wondering who I am, and then I'll go through, like, a kind of overview. I'm not going to do it right now. You guys can see. But I'll say at the end of the day, I've been through the ringer and I know what I'm talking about here. So I'm hoping that for the rest of the presentation, you'll give me the potential that I actually have some credibility on the subject. So I am the founder of Next Gen Sales System, and we serve B2B founders who are doing more than $1 million in revenue for small to zero sales teams. So they usually have one or two guys in a larger growing market with good product market fit and have an amazing product or service. So we like to see product-led growth, and we're going to take you to that next level, $10, $20 million. So the biggest challenge everyone comes to us with is that generating B2B leads is getting harder every single day. But the reason for that is because there's been a shift in the world. So anyways, you see my point is, like, I don't have to think, right? Like, I'm just reading the slides and just speaking off the cuff once I've known it. And I've done it so many times that I just get right into the pitch. So that's why I'm saying, like, the research will guide the pitch and presentation, which will guide the words you use. And so if you're starting with, like, if you design a great pitch, your presentation will be fine. Your VSL will be fine. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I really think, like, this is not rocket science, and I personally sold $50 million in sales. So I can say that that pitch worked. Like, that's not me just, like, going and reading a book and saying that. And frankly, I've never seen anyone actually pitch like that. So I think it works. I would say that's your answer. I
Yeah, I
don't usually
appreciate
say
it.
that, but I really believe that on this particular example.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess starting out when I'm just sending emails, I'll be starting sending emails in like a day or two. If they copy my like the email, then paste it into the web, and then it redirects them to my landing page. Is it okay at first, like not having any VSL, just having some basic
Dude, if
information
you saw
there?
my initial, like, we sold our first $150,000, $200,000 in deals at this company with, like, literally it was like the logo with a button. And it was just like, we help you scale your business. So I can promise you that with cold email, because most of your lead gen won't come through, like, inbound, it's going to come through cold outbound through emails. The two most important things are you're good at cold outbound, you can actually do what you're saying you can do. You got to do it for yourself. And if you can't do it for yourself, don't try to do it for others. And then two is have a good LinkedIn profile. What happens is people actually hit your LinkedIn profile first from your email, and then they look at your content, and then they go to book a meeting through a link on your LinkedIn calendar, your calendar link, and then maybe they'll visit the website. I would say once you get to a certain, like, once you break 100K in sales, I would say redesign the website. But for now, like, I think I even have, like, let me actually see if I can show you. It's kind of embarrassing. I'm going to show you the original version of the website. because it's so bad. Like it was like more thought out, and then my like business partner at the time was like, "Yeah, let's just like scrap this and just make it super simple." And then it became super simple, like ugly simple. Let me go into the funnels. Okay, I found it. This is so bad. I'm gonna launch it. Preview. Okay. This is the original one to share. Can you see my screen?
I do, yeah.
Are you seeing this one where we 10x enterprise sales teams?
No, I don't see that one.
Which one are you seeing?
I see your desktop.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Screens. To share. How about now?
Yep.
That's what it was. That was the
Okay.
whole shebang. And I think like on mobile, let's see if we can squeeze it down. It looked like that. So
Really? Okay.
yeah, I mean that was it. That was, and I had a VSL before, and then we took off the VSL.
Okay.
And I can tell you that I
Interesting.
didn't book any sales through the website. It was
Okay.
there just because I wanted to have a pulse. Like I didn't want to seem like I was just like completely uncredible. So I mean, if you're launching a cold email agency, I promise you your website has nothing to do with it.
Gotcha. Okay.
In the
I appreciate
future,
that.
it will become important. But for now, when you're trying to land your first few clients, like just be really good at cold email copy. If your copy is so good that people go, whoa, who the hell wrote this copy? They're gonna go and be like, I really your copy spoke to me and I needed to find out who the person was. And then you'd be credible on the call. That's how I found my first white labeled agency that I learned from. The guy sent, I always ignore cold email, and this one guy wrote this like one email, and I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And I was like, we gotta talk. And he's like, oh yeah, like that's copy smash. I'm like, how'd you learn that? And that's when we like started talking. So it was literally like one sentence that caught my attention, and that was credible enough for me to jump. And I bought like in two calls. So
Awesome.
cool. All right, well, I'm gonna end
Thank
it,
you.
guys.
Yeah.
It's been an hour and a half, but please, please, please bring other people to the calls. It's 100% free. As you guys know, community is 100% free. We have $1 to literally get all of our sales systems from a GTM perspective. A lot of that content isn't in the course yet. It's a dollar still. Still, there's a shit ton of content there. Let me just show you guys so you can see it if you haven't been in there. What's in there now is going to be like 10x in about a week, but there's still a shit ton in the actual in the school group. So if you go into the classroom section, again, this is free, the launching offer stuff, and the generating lead stuff is there's still a bunch on Apollo list building, my whole methodology on cold email 101, how I think about outbound generally, my whole tech stack that I use is here. So there's a full overview of that. The cold email frameworks that I go through are here, and my entire SDR, let's see where it is, cold calling. My entire like process I use for cold calling and script writing and everything is in here. So I use this to train teams, and there's this whole thing called the cheat sheet, and it gives you like literally the entire rubric of how I like think about cold calling with an SDR level. So that's all in there, and it's like fucking a dollar. So I'm kind of crazy. I don't know why I'm doing that right now, but Alan convinced me to do it for a dollar, and I was like, no, it has to be 249. So anyways, get in there. It's going to double in size with all the clay stuff and more on list building and our specific like AI copywriting lead gen. So that's that. And if you want my other offers, they're over here. So I would say those are good places to start. And for you, like if you're starting a cold email agency, like I'm kind of like, I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm basically giving competitors my entire world. So my hope is that you'll use my software, RevyOps.com, at some point in the future. I think the number one problem you're going to realize, I'll actually put it here for anybody who's interested, is I keep saying I'm done and then I go on for 5 minutes. It's a problem. Here, check out that link I just sent. And you'll see in the link that there's this RevyOps top problems we solve. I guarantee you, if you go deep enough on cold email agency stuff, these will be your top problems. And guess what I'm doing? Top six problems, right? So This is a good example of a follow-up guide that I would give somebody if I was selling them. But it's true. Like, the reason it works is because it's true. It's not because I've just like magically sprinkled bullshit into the world and then it becomes true. It's because I really did the research. And so all these challenges I'm describing here are the ones that I've experienced building my own agency, and it's all data management. And Alan can tell you that the number one problem he has is pulling lists and managing data and managing lists. So anyways, RevyOps solves that. So if when you get to the point where you're doing it and you have to solve these problems, we're doing a free beta. In fact, if you want to be in the free beta, I can sign you up. It's 100% free for the first 3 months. I'm just trying to get feedback. I'll send you the wait list and you can join. And we're only going to take on so many agencies, cold email agencies, but here is the link for the wait list. And you can grab that out of the meeting chat and sign up for that. And just check out the website too. You'll get a sense of it. But okay, well, thanks, Patrick and Trey and David. Again, thank you guys for being here. I know that you don't have to be in the middle of your day. So I really appreciate it, and hopefully I get to know you guys further on other calls. Every week, Thursday, 3 p.m. Central Standard, we're going to be doing this. And again, I don't know where it will lead, but you're here at the beginning. You're in the fourth call, so maybe on the 100th call, we'll have 100 people. Maybe that's a good goal. So thanks, guys. I'll talk to you later.